vision, interaction with all seven synonymous terms for God. Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science in 1866. The name Christian Science is used because it is both Christian and it is science. Christ Jesus is recognized as Lord and Master, but not accepted as God. For God is omnipresent, and nothing that is tangible could be omnipresent. The focus of Jesus was healing. The focus of the followers of Jesus was healing. But about 325 AD, that all changed, because there was a council between the government and churches. And it was decided that Jesus would be named as God and that healing would be left to the medical industry. And the primary function of the church would be to appease the members, and by their own self-appointed authority would forgive sin. That all changed with Christian Science, because Christian Science focused on bringing back the lost element of healing, which had been lost for like 1,500 years. Mary Baker Eddy discovered the science of the healing of Jesus, whereby converted the thought from miracle to science. She states on page 146 of the textbook of Christian Science, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Disease is anything that is discordant, anything that is dis-ease, anything that is not harmonious. It is a very broad term that includes anything that is unlike perfection. Not 99% perfection, but 100% perfection. If there's one tiny element of imperfection, it is not godlike. The system that Mary Baker Eddy discovered enables anyone to heal. However, strange as it may seem, in order to heal, the focus must not be on healing. The focus must be on the first quote that is provided at the beginning of the textbook, which is quoted by John in chapter 8, verse 32 of the Gospels. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is the truth? The truth referred to is the truth about what is God, what is man, and what is the relationship between God and man, and what is the freedom all about. Mary Baker Eddy states on page 468 in the chapter on recapitulation, that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Well, that sounds good, but how in the world can it be accomplished? That's exactly what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. Number one is motive. What must be the motive? Well, healing, of course. No, that is not the motive. The motive is the first phrase of the quote from John. Ye shall know the truth. The truth about God and man and the relationship between God and man. How do we accomplish that? Shakespeare provides the clue in the following quote, which is the second quote at the beginning of the textbook. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Wow. In other words, we are not dependent upon someone else. We're dependent upon the individual that we see when we look in the mirror. The individual that we see when we look in the mirror will change from a material basis to a spiritual basis when we change our thought, speech, and actions in our daily living from a material basis to a spiritual basis. Mary Baker Eddy defines God on page 465 of the textbook as follows. God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. On page 587, she provides a slightly different view. Like looking at a statue that is rotating on a pedestal, and each minuscule rotation provides a slightly different view of the same statue. On 587, she states, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. And here's a third, slightly different view of the same one and only God. On the same page, 587, is the definition of good, G-O-O-D. It is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. There are many words to define mind, as there is each of the other of the seven synonymous terms for God. But three of the key ones are power, action, and presence. The same is true with all seven of the synonymous terms, and that is that there are many other terms that can be used to define it. In fact, every word in the English language can be utilized to either define God and man and the relationship between the two, or an opposite to those qualities. But we will just mention a few in this recording. With spirit, three important terms are substance, purity, and transparency. Third synonymous term for God is soul. And that means the senses. Exactly what you think of as senses, except for the substance of the senses. The five common senses are seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. The substance, however, is spirit. So that means it is not material seeing, but spiritual seeing. And the same with the other four senses. The fourth term is principle. And that basically refers to system and structure. The fifth is life. Life is the dynamic living of all the qualities of God. Number six is truth. That means the consciousness. God is conscious of himself, and we, as his reflection, are conscious of our individuality and of God's wholeness. Love is number seven. Love means that we have already focused on mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, and truth, and therefore we are now at the point of wholeness with love, completeness, fulfillment. However, we must utilize the qualities of love with all of the other qualities. In fact, there is a total connection between all the qualities. The interaction is all within one grand network of infinity. For example, one of the qualities of mind is intelligence. We cannot love spiritually unless we're doing it intelligently. It is not materialistic love. That wouldn't be spiritual. It is not lust. It is genuine, impersonal love. The same kind of love that Jesus demonstrated and lived. The only thing he didn't love were things that were ungodlike. He didn't focus on personality. He focused on qualities. In fact, when he was preaching as a young boy, his mother came to the door, and the people there said, "Your mother is here." And he said, "Who is my mother?" His mother was not a human. He referred to a mother as being someone that is expressing motherly qualities. Mary Baker Eddy defines in the Lord's Prayer under the spiritual interpretation version that God is our Father, Mother God. Who is our neighbor? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? His reply was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is thy brother? Everyone. I'm referring to the nature that is spiritual, the reflection of God, not a human, sinning mortal that is pulled from here to there by devilish thoughts. Remember what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We need to be thinking about our brethren as individual reflections of God. When Shakespeare tells us that nothing is good or bad except thinking makes it so, that's why I said when you look in the mirror, you can change what you are seeing if you change your view. Instead of looking at a so-called human that has defects here and there, you should look for a view of God and God's idea man, which reflects the spiritual qualities of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. There's a third quote at the beginning of the textbook, which is the following. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. If we know the truth, we will be set free from the limitation of the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. And the way we can know the truth is to begin by changing our thinking from a materialistic mortal viewpoint to a spiritual reality, which is the reflection of God. And as we change our thought, speech, and action and live those spiritual viewpoints in a dynamic, continuous way, then we will be blessed. Then God will have heard our prayer, because basically we are living the prayer which identifies God as perfect and we each as His image and likeness. That is how we glorify God. When she says, this is thy high behest. Thy is a capital T, meaning God. And where? Well, God is omnipresent. So she states, thou here and everywhere. What does Solomon say? He was the son of David. Very wise. He said, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Contemplate the possibility of all of these things being spiritual, starting off with a better understanding of God. Understanding that man is a reflection of God, and that God is only good, only perfect. No flaw, as it says in the substance of spirit, which is flawless. Spirit is flawless, and spirit is the only substance. Therefore, we are flawless. We have to demonstrate that, but underneath, we're flawless. We can't be like the image that is portrayed by two sets of footprints going down the beach, and then there's only one set of footprints. That's been interpreted to mean when there's two sets, we're walking with God. When there's one, we've forgotten all about God and we're out there walking solo. That's when we get into trouble. Instead of going to God first, often one goes to God last when they see no other alternative. But if we're going to live a life that is wholesome and pure and fulfilling, we must be walking with God all the time. It's like the comedian. He was talking to his audience about exercise and eating. And he was saying, well, if you eat this, you're going to have to exercise for a certain number of minutes. And then he gave an example of something else. And he says, if you eat that, you're going to have to exercise this amount, which was a longer amount. He said, if you eat this big, juicy hamburger, you're going to have to run all day long. We need to be following God all day long. We can take the risk of being alone. Being involved in the ups and downs of a material-based life. So how do we have a healing with vision or anything else? By forgetting about the problem and thinking about what God is, what man is, and the relationship. When Jesus was in Galilee in the early part of his ministry, he was unsuccessful. They thought of him as either a small boy or as a carpenter. They did not give him the time of day. for being a messenger from God. They didn't believe it. They had no faith. In Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2, it's divided into 7 days of creation. And it says, in the beginning, God did this and that and whatever. But all the verses of chapter 1 and the first 3 verses of chapter 2, which are divided into 7 distinct days, says that we must let. It says, let us make this and that. All 7 of the days are filled with 2 parts. One is we have to let, and second of all, we have to be involved the whole way through. Like looking in that mirror. Are we going to hold in our thought a materialistic individual that has all kinds of problems that come and go? Or are we going to look for the image and likeness of God? Are we going to be like the ones in Galilee that were looking at a boy or a carpenter? Jesus mentioned several times when he was involved in a healing, he says, do you have faith? Do we have any faith in what it says in the Bible about what God is? What does the first part of chapter 2 of Genesis say? There went up a mist. The first part of Genesis through chapter 2, verse 3, talks about perfection. It says, and everything was good. Everything that God made was good. Behold, it was very good. They're really telling us it was perfect. But then a mist went up. And then we had all kinds of problems. Because it then discusses the fake man. And man is a generic term. It really means both male and female. As a matter of fact, God, as already mentioned, really means male and female. All the qualities that one would attribute to a male, just a couple of them, strength and courage, and to a female, love, tenderness, kindness, consideration, forgiveness. Everything together is what God is. God isn't just a man or just a woman. God is the qualities, not a person, the qualities that are attributed to what is normally considered a man and the qualities that are normally attributed to a woman. If we're going to be a wonderful man, we can't just be rough and aggressive like a wild animal. I don't know of a woman that does not appreciate a man that is tender and kind and considerate. And I don't know of a man that doesn't appreciate a woman that has character and strength and courage. The whole individual, whole, the complete individual, is what is most appreciated. That's the one that is reflecting God. if we think about all of the terms that represent those seven terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and if we dynamically live those qualities, in fact, it's the whole dictionary full of words. They can either be attributed to God and man or the opposite. Think of the gardener. He had this beautiful garden. Right next to him was another estate. The garden wasn't so good. So when he thought he better get something looking better, he would go to where the good gardener was and steal a plant from him. Someone asked the good gardener, "What is this hole in the ground?" He said, "Oh, that's my best friend did that. He lives next door here. He takes care of that garden." So why do you call him your best friend? "Oh, because he reminds me of what I should be like, which is the opposite of what he's doing when he takes my plants." Is that the way we think about someone that is doing something wrong to us? Do we think of them as a reminder that we don't want to be doing that? And we need to be thinking of them as a friend because they're a reminder to us? Or do we resent them or hate them? Hating destroys the hater, not the one that does wrong. Jesus said thinking is the same as doing. If you think ill about someone, that's the same as doing something that is not good to them. We create the atmosphere around us. Look in the mirror. What we're thinking about in the mirror reflects out. If we want to have a beautiful day, we must be thinking beautifully. If we see a beautiful rose with just a lovely aroma, we should be thinking about God. God is the one that created all beauty. A beautiful rose is beauty. Two people being in unison and working together, that's beauty. Doing something for someone else that they need, that they can't do for themselves, that's beauty. What is forgiving? When you forgive someone, well, you may be surprised to hear this, but that's big trouble for you. If you forgive someone, you're in real big trouble. Why? Because you can only forgive someone if you think they did something wrong. Are we God? Are we the judge to decide who has done something wrong or not? We can't forgive someone unless we think someone has done something wrong. Mary Baker Eddy says you better take care of your own thoughts, and if you do, you will find you don't have any time to be taking care of someone else's thoughts. So, if we're forgiving someone, that means we're thinking wrongly about that individual. It's the only way we can forgive. So we're in big trouble if we're forgiving, because that means that we were bad from the beginning. We were thinking incorrectly about that person from the very onset. Forget about thinking badly. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Think of the gardener. Let that remind you that you better be on your toes and you better be straightening out your thinking about yourself and them. And yourself means you better be taking care of your own consciousness. And that means forget about someone else's actions or thought or speech. Unless there's someone that is dependent upon you, like a young child, then obviously you need to be taking care of how they are thinking. You need to be training them to think correctly. Mary Baker Eddy states that often the difference between success and failure is how we use the moment. A moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. It can't be defined in math, because math, you can always divide one more time. In fact, in a very clever movie about Einstein, these two people were young people, a young woman and a young man. They were going to dance, and they were on the dance floor, and the girl was playing the part of the niece of Einstein, and she told the fellow that she was with at the dance, she says, you know, we can never get together and actually touch so that we can be in a normal dance position. He says, well, why not? She said, because in math, you can always divide. He says, well, what do you mean? She says, well, let's suppose that we are 3 feet away. Well, we can divide that in half and be 1.5 feet away. And we can divide that in half and be 3/4 of a foot away. And we can divide that again. We can keep dividing the distance between us in half, and we'll never get together because there's always going to be some distance. Great movie about Einstein. Einstein had some very interesting things to say about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. He said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. He was referring to Mary Baker Eddy when he said, blessed art thou. And he was referring to the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, when he said, everything that is in this book. And then he really put the icing on the cake. He said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. And the reason he said it that way is because at that time, which would have been when Mary Baker Eddy wrote the textbook in 1875, the first edition, she could not legally own property and she couldn't vote. In Jesus' time, when he preached to 4,000 on one occasion, they said there were 4,000 plus women and children. When he preached to 5,000, they said there's 5,000 plus women and children. They did not count the women or the children. Mary Baker Eddy said that she hoped that women would be considered equal with men. But she said, I hope they don't go to the other extreme. And of course, that's exactly what they did. I believe there are more women that are running big corporations now than there are men. How about skin color? It used to be that most individuals that had a color that wasn't white were prejudiced against. Now it's the other way around. If you have white skin, there's a prejudice against you. I didn't have any choice on what skin color I was going to have. No one asked me. Why should anyone be prejudiced against? They don't have any choice in their skin color. The grass is always greener on the other side. From a human viewpoint, it seems like most, or at least a majority, of the most successful professional athletes are not white. You may be a white athlete and wish you were black so that you could be better than what you are. That's just an average. There are some very fine white athletes. In fact, one that is a professional basketball player. Oh, he's retired now. But he was, I believe, voted to be the best professional basketball player. And that was including the votes of all the blacks, which were a majority of those who were casting their vote. Skin color is not the determining factor on anything but one's viewpoint. One may not be prejudiced if they realize that the individual with a different skin color than their own had no choice. No one has a choice on their skin color. Where we were in the world, who our parents were, we don't have any choice. But we certainly have a choice on what we make of ourselves, whether we're going to be striving to learn more about God, or whether we're just going to go with the flow. Up and down, in and out, chaos here, a little bit of peace, then more chaos. There are four operators, just like mathematics has the operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The system of divine metaphysics has four operators, which are termed the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word means the facts about God, just like mathematics has 10 digits, 0 to 9. Those are the elements. The Christ means how do we view what we're seeing? Are we able to focus on the truth? Or if we have a problem, we're being led by outside influences. If Christ Jesus saw someone with a problem, he immediately translated to seeing that individual without the problem. If he would have looked upon Lazarus as being dead, he could have never raised him from the dead. To Tabitha, the young girl, he said, "She sleepeth." He didn't say she was dead. The blind man, he didn't think of the blind man as being blind, the leprous as being leprous. No. He thought of these people as being a reflection of God. When the one was born blind, his disciples asked him, "Who did sin, this man or his parents?" He said, "Neither." Said the reason that this situation is here is for us to glorify God. In other words, heal the situation. Doesn't mean focus on the problem. You cannot heal anything by focusing on the problem. Einstein stated that you cannot solve a problem if you're thinking about the problem on the same level as where you discovered the problem. You have to raise your thinking above it. You have to go up higher in your thought. It's like going up in an airplane. You can see more and more of what the world is if you get higher. That's what we have to do when we have a problem to heal. We can't be thinking about the problem. We have to forget the problem. We have to think about God, think about man, and the relationship between God and man. The founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute was Helen Wright. She wrote a book entitled Your Divinity Revealed. There are 7 chapters in there, 13 total chapters. There are 7 chapters that focus on what the 7 synonymous terms are. And she defines them utilizing the various other words to describe the 7 synonymous terms. One should study that book from beginning to end, and then go back and start on chapter 4, which is the chapter for mind. Chapter 5 is for spirit, and so forth. Chapters 4 to 10 should be studied continuously. Just like the textbook, you should start at the beginning, where the introductory quotes are. Go all the way to the end. There are 100 pages in there, which are testimonies of individuals, 85 different individuals, that are testifying about 400 and I think it's 85 healings that they had. So each one of them had 5 or 6 or 7 healings. And they had those healings without any outside source, such as a professional practitioner. They only received the healings as a result of their study of the textbook, Science and Health, with the Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. So the word is identifying what God is. The Christ is translating what is visible in material terms to the spiritual underlying completeness and perfection. The third one is called Christianity, and that is demonstrating what we have learned about God and about the real individual instead of the problem. And after we've demonstrated it, again, not by focusing on the problem, but by focusing on what God is, what man is, and the relationship. Then we're into the fourth operator, which is science. And science means that we are it. We are reflecting the image and likeness of God. Automatically. We automatically convert. We're on automatically being the image and likeness of God. Music has operators. Music has elements. The notes of A to G, those are 7, and it has the black keys, 5 of those. It has operators. All kinds of variables. Mathematics plays a big part in music, plays a big part in the system of divine metaphysics. The key to healing is to address consciousness, our thoughts, our motive. And we must remember that often the symptom is pointing to the wrong thing. It's a decoy. The wrong thinking is very tricky. Mary Baker Eddy says, the lie and the liar are the same thing. Evil thoughts try to mock the truth. Mary Baker Eddy says there are steps to healing. Number one, we have to analyze. We want to find the real cause. And as noted just now, it may not be the symptom at all. You may be on the way to a meeting and have car trouble. The car may not be the problem at all. It could be that there's a thought that is trying to keep you from going to the meeting. Often when someone went to Mary Baker Eddy for advice on how to heal, because they weren't able to work it out themselves, she'd say, well, what are you working on? And she'd say, well, that's the wrong thing to be working on. She was so spiritually minded that she knew exactly what they should be working on by knowing very little about the situation. So we need to find out what we need to be working on. And we need to reverse the thought. It's called the counterfact. One of the greatest geniuses of Christian Science is Frederick Rawson. He wrote a book called Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And in it are 1,315 ailments listed. It's like a dictionary of ailments with the solution on how to heal them. Highly recommended. He also discovered how to treat retroactively so that the healing would take place prior to anyone working on the problem. Overcame the belief of time. Robert Putnam was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp lost his mother, who was the wife of Ira Knapp. Ira Knapp was one of the first individuals that was on the lecture committee to travel around giving lectures on Christian Science. So Mary Baker Eddy took his son, Bliss Knapp, who was only, I think, around 10 years old at the time, under her wing. And so he was basically taught and trained by Mary Baker Eddy from the very beginning. So being taught by him was the next best thing to being taught directly by Mary Baker Eddy. So Dr. Robert C. Putnam, the doctor is from being a chemist, had excellent training, and he wrote a book about 10 Bible lessons. He wrote some other books also, very valuable. But the one about 10 Bible lessons really teaches everything you need to know about the Bible from beginning to end. And it includes Christ Jesus, which of course is in the New Testament, and it includes Mary Baker Eddy, who was prophesied in the Bible. If one would study that book, 10 Bible lessons, they would learn everything they need to know about the Bible. You don't even need to mess with reading the Bible from beginning to end. Now, reading the Bible for certain things is great, but to actually learn the Bible from beginning to end, you're going to do that much better by reading the 10 Bible lessons. And it tells you, it covers every major event, every major individual in the Bible, including the prophecies. And then reading, studying the book Your divinity revealed on the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love is the best you can do, from Helen Wright's book. And the book by Frederick Rawson, which is Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. Again, I mean, it should be a continuous study. Now, it's highly recommended that you don't read the ailments in there unless it's an ailment that is a concern that you're working with. Because it'd be like reading a medical dictionary, like you're going through med school and you're learning about all the diseases. You don't do that in Christian Science. You only address the one that is a problem. And then you touch on it very lightly and you focus on God and man and the relationship. So, by all means, don't be reading that book about all of the problems that are mentioned there. Sins and diseases and so forth. For the reasons I just explained. But read it. When I said study it, I'm talking about the method of healing is what you study. And that's not a part of the applied treatments unless you're dealing with something that you have a problem with that you want to heal. And then you would just, it's an alphabetic order, so you would just go to that particular problem and just study about how to heal that. We have hundreds and hundreds of books, all very fine. All the parables of Jesus. We have a book by Stamp and Moss. In fact, it's I think it's 11 volumes that cover the 41 parables of Jesus. Each volume covers like three or four parables in great detail. They're very advanced students. We have all the tools, and it's up to each individual to decide how serious they want to be about having heaven on earth. Dr. Putnam is the first one that discovered, at least made public, that Revelation was really written by Jesus. John was on the island of Patmos because he was exiled there. They couldn't kill him. Put him in a pot of boiling oil. Couldn't kill him. So they exiled him. And there's no record that he ever passed on. So it's apparent that he ascended. And Jesus, after his ascension, came back in the flesh on the island of Patmos and dictated the book of Revelation. And Dr. Putnam has that documented in his book on how that all came about. All the statements are in the Bible that tell us. But you have to know where to find them and you have to understand what they're telling us. Anything can be healed. And that's what the system of divine metaphysics is all about. It is a system where anyone can use it. It doesn't matter where you were born, who your parents were, what your skin color is, what your DNA is, what your education has been. None of it matters. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that means all your human needs will be met also. Not just spiritual ideas, but of course the spiritual ideas are what enable the human needs to be met. Everything we do has to include love. We have to think about the golden rule constantly. It's like having a machine with a bunch of gears. And they could all be very finely engineered. and manufactured to zero tolerance. But it'll still make a lot of clanging noise. But what happens when you lubricate it? They become silent. The rotation of the gears and meshing together becomes silent. The interaction of all of the terms for God work together in one grand network. The redwood sequoia trees in the upper northwest corner of California, they are apparently the oldest and the tallest trees, the strongest. They have withstood fire, wind, everything you can imagine. Their root system is very shallow. You would think it probably goes down 100 feet, like a big building. They have these tall buildings, and the foundation goes down beneath the surface of the beginning where the landscape is for a very long ways, very long distance, in order to hold it up. Well, it's the opposite with the sequoia trees, the redwood sequoias. Very shallow root system, but what is the magic? What is the key to their longevity and strength? They bond together. The roots actually bond together, like someone welded them if it was steel. They are all bonded together. That's what we need to be. We need to think of everyone as being our brother, our brethren. Sisters and brothers, neighbors. What can we do for our neighbor? Our neighbor is everyone. Are we like in the story of the Good Samaritan? Everyone walked on the other side of the street because they didn't even want to pass by the man that was in such dire need. But the Good Samaritan, that is what we all need to be every day with everyone. Are you aware the Bible says that we should tithe 10%? Tithe. I've heard very successful, wealthy people say that their life turned around when they started giving instead of taking. Yes, people can become wealthy without giving a thing. They're probably not going to be very happy. They may have all the money they need, but that doesn't bring happiness. Try giving 10%, not after taxes, before taxes, of everything that you have coming in, everything. You sell property, sell it for $10 million, give away $1 million. If you earn $100 a month, give away 10. If you earn $1 million a month, give away 100,000. Try it. And I don't mean do it resentfully. I don't mean to do it to get something out of it. You're going to totally void the effectiveness of it if you do that. Give it away because you want to share what you have. Give it away because you search for those that are in need and you help them. It may not be money. It could be other things. Try giving away 10% of everything you have. Everything. Whether it's clothes, food, cars, houses, money. How about good thoughts? How about thinking about other people 10% of the day? 2.4 hours a day. Think about how you can help other people. And do it. Action speaks louder than words. Try tithing 10% of everything in thought, speech, and action. See what happens. Be a researcher. Test it. Don't look for something in return. Observe what happens. Most people give almost nothing. Try tithing. Try following what it tells us to do in the Bible. We can heal anything that is needed by getting ourselves out of the way. We don't do the healing. The truth does the healing. Mind is the medicine and truth is the healer. Mind. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Our thoughts are the medicine. What kind of thoughts are we going to entertain? Are we going to entertain thoughts of blindness? We're not going to be healing vision if we think of thoughts of blindness. Are we going to think of limitation? Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Infinite progression. Concrete. Think of concrete as being something substantial, something permanent. Think of a mountain that is made out of granite. Do we want to make progress? Do we want to see progress? Vision will be healed if we open our eyes. If we let ourselves be enlightened by the truth about what God is. Are we willing to trust anything or anyone? Mary Baker Eddy proved that what she discovered was true before she wrote the first book. She made the statement, I realized that I could not publish a book until I'd proven what I believed was a new discovery. In fact, it wasn't a new discovery, it was rediscovering what Jesus proved to be true. The only problem with Jesus was that it wasn't a problem with him. It was not his mission to teach how to heal. He gave an alarm clock to the world, and he said, "Look, what can be done." He did not look upon it as a miracle. It was not a miracle. Mary Baker Eddy says he was the best scientist that the world has ever known. He was a scientist. He wasn't a miracle maker. There's a science in how to heal. The science of divine metaphysics. Mary Baker Eddy discovered what that science was. We teach it in these prayer treatments. Our website teaches the science. The name of the religion is Christian Science. It's not anything different than a combination of religion and science. What does Einstein say about religion and science? He says, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. There it is. Christian Science offers it all. It provides the way of life, which is religion, and it provides the science on how to heal and how to have a way of life that is wholeness and fulfillment. It has it all. Don't expect everyone you talk to is going to say, this is great. Because truth is hated by error. Evil hates good. Perfection is hated by imperfection. You have to be discreet. You must be discreet when you have a discussion that is so different than what the individual you're talking to believes to be true. Just like Genesis 1 says, let. You have to be talking to somebody that will let themselves accept something different than what they have been told their whole life. Remember, as of 325 AD, the government and the churches got together and they decided that they were going to claim Jesus to be God and that they would be in a business. They're in a business of selling forgiveness of sin. Yeah. They're in the business of selling forgiveness of sin. That's what the churches are in. Every church is the same. They're all corrupt. The Church of Christian Science is corrupt because they're full of humans that want to control other people. Yeah, they're all corrupt. Does mathematics have any churches? Music, do they have churches? No. 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 If you want to learn mathematics, you read books and you try to work out problems. You know, go through an educational system. Same with music. You don't go to church to learn music. One of the most famous pianists said, if I miss practicing one day, I know it. If I miss 2 days, the critics know it. If I miss 3 days, the audience knows it. If we miss one day of not devoting time and effort to improving our understanding about God, we will know it. If we miss 2 days, the critics will know it, which means everybody that's walking around us, because we'll probably let our guard down and do something foolish, like get upset with someone or not have a smile on our face or not appreciate the life that we have right in front of us. If we miss 3 days, everyone will know it. There's no vacation if we really want to cultivate being the image and likeness of God. Mary Baker Eddy quotes Isaiah in chapter 14 at the beginning, page 465, I believe it is. She says, precept, or she's quoting Isaiah, it says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. She says, don't try to accomplish it all in one day. Take a step at a time. What does Einstein say? He says, learn a little bit each day about the holy God. He calls it the holy. Yeah, learn a little bit each day, he says. He says, never let a day go by that you don't seek to learn something little each day. One might think that Einstein was only interested in physics. Nope. His friend, Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission. Everyone on that commission was killed from the radiation, except his friend, Dr. Underwood. And Einstein asked his friend, he says, well, how is it that everybody else died and you didn't? He says, I'm a student of Christian Science. When he said that, Einstein already knew about Mary Baker Eddy, and he was dabbling with it, but then he really took a serious interest in it. He went to the reading rooms, very few of them these days. He went to the churches in two different cities where he was living. Yeah, the corruption in the church, it's in all the churches. That's why it went from being the fastest growing and in probably every country to dwindling down. The same's happened to all the churches, but particularly the Christian Science Church, because they were supposed to be representing the truth, and they failed miserably. Totally forgot what is in the textbook. Forget about loving your neighbors yourself. Everyone's out there fighting for their own survival. They're fighting for their own survival because they're not going to God first. They don't care about God. Mr. Rawson was looking out a window. This is about 120 years ago, 110 years ago. And a friend by the name of Mr. Spalding. By the way, everyone we mention is an author on our website. Very easy to find them. Just go to the menu and go to authors, and everything's in alphabetical order. So he was looking out the window. This was before they had motorized trucks, or very many of them. And there was a man pulling a cart full of rocks with an animal driving the animal that was pulling the cart. And he felt something uneasy about the cart, and so he stopped the animal and got out of the driver's seat and went back to the tailgate and looked. And while he was back there, the animal got alarmed for some reason and raised up and dumped a whole load of rocks on him. And if it wouldn't have been for Mr. Rawson observing this, probably would have been dead instantly. But Mr. Rawson observed it, and he made a statement of five words with total conviction and spiritual understanding of what it was all about. And he said, there is nothing but God. There is nothing but God. That's it, five words. And with that, the man rocketed out from underneath those rocks without a scratch. Instantaneous healing. Mr. Spalding is the one that reported this. the one standing beside him as they were gazing out the window and having a discussion about whatever. Mr. Rosten is very humble. He excelled in everything he did, but he's very humble. He probably would have never reported it. We need to remember that. There's nothing but God. And the definition of God. When we do our prayers, at the end of the prayers, I call this a prayer treatment. We're treating our own consciousness. And when we're coming to the, we feel that we've covered what we want to cover, we've had the inspiration that has been fruitful and so forth, we should say something like this to seal it. The truth in this prayer is effective because it's from God. It's true. It's true here. It's omnipresent truth. It's reality. It's a truth about me and anyone that my thought touches upon. And that truth cannot be diluted. It can't be deflected. Can't be interfered with in any way. Can't be stopped and it can't be reversed. It is true right now and always, and it is effective, and it's with the power of God, who is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, omniaction. I yield any element of self-will and rely on God for my guidance. God is all in all. Amen.